This is Scott Becker, and thank you for joining us today. We're with Becker's Healthcare, and we're joined today with Dennis Pullen, the President and CEO of Virtua Health. Dennis is going to speak to us today about a new program that they've put together, sort of a mobile strategy that deals with a variety of issues around social determinants of health. I'm going to work through a number of questions with Dennis. Dennis, let me start by asking you to take a moment in introducing yourself and telling us just a bit about the Virtua Health System.
Scott, thanks for having me on. Again, I serve as president and CEO of Virtua, which is a not-for-profit community health system in New Jersey, really sort of in the southern part of New Jersey, just across the river from Philadelphia. And our system's anchored with three acute care hospitals. We have 8 urgent care centers, 18 joint ventured surgery centers, and about 200 care sites in which we were able to see patients with over 10,000 employees. And our focus is truly that of a community health system. Our mission is as simple as it comes, and that is to help people be well, get well, and stay well. And so that's what we focus on as a community health system.
Thank you. And you've developed a new effort or an enhanced effort around social determinants of health. Explain that to us for a moment. Why the enhanced effort and why the focus here?
Because we are truly, Scott, a community health system. And if our charter is to try and build a stronger community, we can't do that without addressing some of the underlying factors that shapes people's health and wellness. And that means we have to deal with some of those social determinants of health.
At what point did this become a bigger priority for you and your leadership team?
You know, really, as a result, every 3 years, we do a community needs assessment. And as a result of that, it became clear that there were many barriers that prevented many of the residents from being able to take advantage of those services that we offered. And the things that really jumped out at us were those things that fall under the definition of being a social determinant, you know, lack of affordable housing, unreliable transportation, you know, living in a food desert, all of those things that really jumped out at us. And we realized that we had to step back and sort of refocus some of our programming, some of our energy, and some of our resources to address those things.
And talk to us about the mobile strategy that you're using as part of this.
You know, as I mentioned, transportation jumped to the top, and we recognized that there was a way that we could probably create access and affordability and alleviate some of those barriers. And so, you know, we can't expect our patients to eat healthy foods if there are no grocery stores anywhere in the area. We can't expect patients to show up for appointments if they don't have reliable transportation. So as a result, we've invested into 3 really productive mobile units. We have a mobile farmers market, a mobile mammography unit, as well as a mobile pediatric unit.
And what have you learned so far from this mix of the farmers market is obviously sort of, you know, it's sort of on the edges of what's been considered traditional healthcare, whereas mammography and pediatrics right in the middle. I mean, it almost sounds to me, I'm older, so it sounds to me a little bit like the bookmobiles of when we were kids. What have you learned so far from this?
What we've all known is that preventive medicine is still the best medicine. And we also see food as medicine. And so when we recognize that we have a location that sits in the city of Camden, Camden is probably one of the most vulnerable communities in the United States, and it's also a food desert. And so we have this mobile unit that last year we were able to support over 10,000 families. We provided over 65,000 pounds of fresh produce. And it was made possible through a partnership with Whole Foods, partnership with the New Jersey Food Bank. And so we've really been able to impact the community with just that one particular thing by providing fresh fruit options.
And it must be well received by the community. Is it well received by the community, or what's the feedback that you get?
Very much so. You know, when the community knows that we have, on a weekly basis, six different stops, they're there waiting. They are learning this mobile farmers market. Not only do we provide fresh produce, but we also have a registered dietitian that is available to provide counseling, to help with recipes and things of that nature. So the community response has been tremendous when you look at the impact that we're able to have on the residents.
And how do you look at so far the sort of cost benefit of this mobile effort that's aimed at getting closer to social determinants of health? How do you sort of measure costs, measure benefits, or how do you assess that?
Well, you know, I think when we look at success and what does success look like, it really is by looking at the number of people that we impact, you know, the gratitude that we see. You know, as I mentioned, in the month of January, we distributed over 5,500 pounds of produce. Now, we know that impact it will have on healthy kids in terms of being well nourished. And so looking at just the cost benefit is right now probably a little more difficult, but we know that, you know, individuals that are well nourished are less likely to be readmitted. And so to me, that's working towards lowering the total cost of healthcare.
But let me ask you a question, just so I have this clearly. This is really not a revenue-enhancing program. This is really truly a community benefit program. The intention is not necessarily to make money from this. The intention here is to do a great service, is to offer a community benefit. So it's sort of measuring in a very amorphous way the benefits, but there are costs with it. But this is not a revenue-producing effort.
You're right, Scott. There are costs associated with it, but it is not a revenue-producing initiative. It is, I think, us being the health system, being responsible for trying to improve the overall health and well-being of the community. And sometimes you have to do things of this nature. And there are different ways of making it happen. You know, we do it, yes, we fund it, but we also have partnerships, we have grants, we have a tremendous philanthropic community that allows us to do many of these things. And so I'm looking at more of the benefit as I am the cost at the moment. And it is part of our, you know, as I mentioned, as a result of our community needs assessment, we identified that it was a need. And so we felt we had a responsibility to addressing many of these problems.
Yes, let me not make sure my comment is clear. I think what you're doing is magnificent. And I'm just sort of clarifying it for the audience. The purpose of it is not revenue producing. It's greatness. It's community need. It's really addressing community needs. And that's really the purpose. And it's a fantastic thing. How difficult was it to get started, both work-wise and getting the board on board with the concept?
I think the difficulties were a result of being sort of the first to attempt some of these things. And I don't think there was any challenge whatsoever with our board, with knowing that there was such a community need. There were just few models that we were able to look at, to borrow from, or to steal ideas from. And so we did our research. We listened to the community. Our board was on board. Our employees are on board. You know, everyone supported sort of this new approach to tackling population health challenges.
Was there an internal champion, someone that sort of like took this idea or really championed the idea. Any thoughts on that and how important it is to have that kind of instigator catalyst to get a program going?
It is helpful. And yes, we had many individuals that were willing to champion it. But I think, Scott, the bigger issue is philosophically, you have to be willing to say, okay, we're going to step up and step outside of our comfort zone and try and do things that are truly impactful. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do within the walls of the hospital. There's only so much you can do in the physician's office. We know that health takes place in between those visits. And so as a system, philosophically, we decided that we needed to step up and do some things. But fortunately for me, I also have many individuals on my team that also saw the need and felt that this was the right thing to do. And so it really wasn't a heavy lift when it came to my board support and other community support.
Right. And it's certainly the kind of thing that people were excited about. I mean, just a positive, wonderful, wonderful program. So, you know, you could have people skeptical about, well, is there enough benefit in this? Is there this? Is there that? Are we throwing a rock into the ocean? But overall, when you see people actually lining up and wanting the care or wanting the food, it's very gratifying, I take it.
It is. But, and you know, for instance, we provided over 700 free mammograms last year. Our pediatric mobile unit screened nearly 1,000 kids last year, which included about 200 dental screenings. And we provide flu shots and we provide lead testing, developmental screenings. And so you can't ignore the potential impact that those types of things will have. And so it is a wonderful thing to do.
Right. No, and those are real numbers. Those meals, mammograms, pediatric visits, they're real numbers. And so I don't mean to understate that. It's fantastic, fantastic program. Finally, Dennis, any setbacks, anything that's not gone as you wanted to go with this?
Scott, I won't say that there were any major setbacks. I think what has come about is a greater understanding of just how deeply needed these type services are. And so for me, the challenge is one, make sure we continue to strive and try and innovate and really reach out to some of my counterparts to where we may be able to collaborate rather than always being in this competitive mode. I think as health systems, when we're really trying to move the needle on social determinants of health and the behavioral health issues that we deal with in our various communities, maybe we have to find more ways to collaborate in order to truly advance the ball in eliminating some of these challenges. So I don't see that as so much as many setbacks as I do opportunities to overcome some of the challenges.
Well, congratulations. I know that this is a great program. I know that Virtua continues to grow as a system and receives itself tremendous marks as a system. So congratulations on this program and what you're doing at Virtua. Just amazing work, Dennis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Scott, and thank you for taking the time to highlight works of this nature. And I think maybe some of your listeners would also find ways in their various communities to take on the challenge and help us all sort of eliminate some of these social determinants. So thanks for having me on.
No, thank you. And I know that people can reach you if they want to. They could reach you through us. They could reach you through your system. I don't want to leave your phone number and everything else right here on this, but I know that you're welcome and always willing to talk to people about what you're doing. There's so many great examples of this type of effort throughout the country. This is a specific one that's remarkable. And so, Dennis, thank you for joining us and sharing it with us today. And thank you for your team for bringing it to us to share. Thank you, sir.
Sounds great. Thank you.